vocations director. In a mostly rural area of England, with city centres such as Derby, Leicester and Nottingham. In fact, his diocese is precisely Nottingham, an area often described as being geographically as large as Belgium. His name is Father David Kane, a young man. So although in polite circles you certainly don't ask people how old they are, I felt this time I needed a little bit of an explanation and came up with a suggestion as to why he'd been picked to be vocations director, given his young age. So you've been ordained for 4 years,
yep,
is that right?
Yeah, I have.
And you're a vocations director.
Yes.
Is there a reason for that? Is it because your superiors think you're young enough to be able to communicate to other young people your vocation? Or?
Yeah, I would guess that's the case. I've been involved in vocations promotion since my first year at seminary, which is coming up to sort of 10 years ago, really. I got involved in that with a priest called Father Mark Crisp, who's now the rector of the Oscott College in Birmingham. And he asked me to come into a school with him in a primary school because I was free one morning. And I went in to talk about my vocation, what I was called, what I felt I was called to priesthood, and what do you do, how do you train as a priest, and what happens when you are a priest. And chatted to the kids about that and discovered that I actually loved doing it.
So you're a fisher of men?
A fisher of men. Well, Jesus does that, you see, and I'm one of his agents. I like doing it. I think it's something that I never really get bored of. It can be very difficult explaining why you do what you do, and it is very hard to put it into words. Because for most people, you think, well, if you have a vocation, did a big fiery angel appear at the bottom of your bed one night and say, well, Dave, I want you to be a priest, in a big deep voice? And you think, well, that's very clear if a fiery angel had said that to me, but it doesn't work like that. It's a more gnawing away at you, and you know all the way through, since my early teens, I knew I was being called to be a priest, but I didn't have the courage to answer the call. It was only when I left university, I did a postgraduate course in law. I was thinking about being a barrister at that stage, and I reached an important junction in my life, and I thought, this is the time, I needed the gift of the Holy Spirit of courage. I got it, and so I picked up a telephone and phoned a priest and said, what do I do now?
Vocations have dropped considerably in the last 20 years or so, perhaps more, no?
In England, over the last 4 years, they've actually been increasing. We wondered, as a group of vocations directors, whether it's just that we as Catholics as a whole are getting more confident about our own religion. I think the life and the death as well of John Paul II showed how do we communicate our faith to other people. And I think people are much more willing to do that. And people are more willing to accept vocations as a consequence of that. Mm. Even in universities, for example, where perhaps in the past people over the last decade have been reluctant to talk about the church because it has encountered various difficulties and challenges. But now people think, no, faith has given me something and I feel confident to tell others about it. And because of that, maybe a culture of vocation is starting to grow, where people are not just interested in money or fame or power, but they actually want to be at the service of the church.
The vocation to the service of the Church's communion is the message which Pope Benedict has chosen for this year's World Day of Prayer for Vocations. He claims it's more topical than ever. Would you agree?
Well, actually, it doesn't sound as if it would be topical, but I think he's tapping into something very important, because he's tapping into that confidence. He's saying, well, why are people being called? And what he's sort of suggesting is that it is at the service of communion. So that visibly, people who have vocations, by answering a calling to a very challenging life, but a very rewarding life, show to other people, well, yeah, we're in a sense, sort of people that are walking down those paths. And if you show, like I hope I do, I love my vocation, I enjoy doing what I do. And other people might think, well, yeah, well, why does he enjoy it? And ask the questions, why? And if we're at the service of the communion of the church, of drawing the church as a community, both visibly on earth but also a heavenly communion, then that's a great thing. And it's hopefully just making people think, why do these people do these things? And can I follow?
Now, the Pope also says that the Eucharist is at the centre of every Christian community. When you find vocations, is it true that your average Catholic who goes to Mass and takes part in the Eucharist, or does it come from elsewhere?
Yes, I would say that the vocations, in my experience, are people who recognise the importance of the Eucharist, that will be people who, you know, they may not, because of work commitments, be daily communicants, but they will certainly be involved in their parish communities. And they're not making some major leap, so a parish priest won't suddenly say, well, who is this person that has appeared in my congregation is saying I want to be a priest. They'll usually be people who are very well known to a parish priest or a parish sister, or be involved in a particular aspect of catechetics. And because of that, they recognise the importance of Holy Communion in their lives, that, again, it gives them the confidence to come forward.
You speak about courage all the time. Would you think it's because in England Catholics are a minority? Do you think there's something in that?
A bit of both, yeah. I think there is something in that. I think, you know, the way that the Church appears in the media is very important. And I think there are a number of bishops in England have taken major steps and have taken risks, really, in speaking to the media, because whenever you appear on TV or radio or you do a newspaper article, it's a risk that you're going to be misrepresented. And we can sort of take a backseat and we can say, well, you know, I don't want to take that risk. I don't want the difficulties that might occur because of that. And I think it's great that they are doing that, coming forward with confidence and talking about the Church. And sometimes it can be very difficult.
Particularly in England, in the media, they tend to portray the negative side of things, don't they?
They do, yeah, they do. And I think the lead-up, you know, the last few days of John Paul II's life and his death and what happened after, I think that was actually a huge moment where people were willing to come out and talk about his life. And to say, well, why was he such a huge figure for the Church? And what happens next? And the interest, it was fascinating, from all sorts of secular media outlets, whether it be TV and radio, and they just couldn't get enough of the story. When you talk about the story, well, what was it that gave this old failing man such strength? And I know people beforehand were calling for his retirement, but that witness, right until the end...
So witness is important.
Huge.
Witness is very important.
Very important.
In your
opinion. The key. It is the key, really.
You mentioned that you had four students in Rome and in England?
Yes, we've got one chap that's studying at Oscott College in Birmingham. Mm. And he's in his third year at the moment. So he's halfway through there and starting to receive some of the minor orders and the ministries as he moves on. But, he's a younger chap, actually, at Oscott. He's only in his early 20s and has come from, actually, a background of working in computers and is very familiar with media and, again, is a very confident chap called Aaron. And, it's great. It's good to see the people. And the candidates we've got this year are excellent. You know, all sorts of backgrounds. We've got we're going to interview, who's a DJ... one that's come from a background of teaching and all sorts of other different and interesting backgrounds. But it's good. It's interesting for us as well to say, well, why? Why are these people coming forward? And why do they choose a particular time in their lives?
Our thanks there to Father David Kane, Vocations Director for the Nottingham Diocese. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.